Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I have my good friend, Dr. Matt, joining me. Dr. Matt is a Canadian that I met at Palmer when we were in school. And fun fact, he also was in Kyle and I's wedding. So we know him really well. We love him. He has been one of our best friends that we met at school. And Matt has also built an incredible online presence. And so I wanted to bring him on the podcast to chat with you guys a little bit about his entrepreneurship journey and how he built his business off of community-based marketing, as well as how he's diversified a little bit into the online space. So thank you for joining us today, Matt.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. This is like a different setting than last time I saw you, and I love it.
I know. Last time was in New York City, traipsing through the streets, the three of us. That was a lot of fun. We got to do that again. But let's give the listeners a little bit of a peek at what your entrepreneurship journey has looked like and kind of how you got into chiropractic and then had this desire to really build a business into four locations.
Yeah, definitely. So I think similar to you, like when we were in school, I always knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur and have my own thing. But as a lot of, you know, listeners probably know too, it's like you get done school and you're always feeling like there needs to be more that you need to have in your toolbox before you're confident to start. So it's like, I'm just going to start working somewhere first and like, then I'll know everything and then I can start. Well, soon to realize like, that's just not the case, right? Like the curtain kind of pulls back and you realize that, you know, the people that you maybe respect or look up to, like that you are working for, they're trying to figure it out too. So in my head, I was like, well, I could sit here and kind of spin my wheels, or I could just take a leap and try to get after it, right?
Yep.
And by no means did I know everything, but I was like, I want to do this. And it's either now or in another 6 months or 5 years. So why not just jump? And so I started off, I was maybe a little, I don't know if tainted is the right word, but the place that I worked at, we definitely did not charge very much for our services. And it was a very high volume clinic. And I knew that I was feeling burnt out from like the marketing side of like how that was run. And I knew I needed to do something different, but I also didn't know anything else. So it was kind of terrifying, to be honest, to be like, all right, what am I going to do? And how am I going to build this the way that I want to? And actually, I had a good friend of mine at the time, kind of a mentor of mine. And he kind of told me, he's like, look at business rather than like word vomiting or marketing your service to everybody. It's like, go and make and build as many relationships as you can and just watch some of that pour in from just genuine relationships that you can find from people that you respect that are aligned with what you're doing. So
I love that.
Yeah. And that was definitely like my starting goal. This was like before, I mean, social media was a thing, but before like everybody and their pet had a social media account for business. So I kind of made this, I don't even know if you knew this stuff, but I started a podcast when I started my business, and it was, I call it my fake podcast because honestly, the entire goal of this podcast was for me to network and to build relationships with people because I didn't know anybody in the city that I was opening up my practice in. It was brand new. It had to be pretty far from where I was working because of my non-compete, similar to you, right?
Yep.
Like, it's
yep.
Like, we're just going to start this up. So I had this idea where it was like a spider web situation, and I picked two people that I knew that I respected in health, fitness, and business. And I interviewed them. And then the idea or the concept of the podcast was, hey, I want you to then refer me my next guest. So they referred me somebody that they respected in health, fitness, and wellness and business. And so then my network just exploded within those first like 6 months. I met like every gym owner in the area. I met different people from like, that's how I got connected with Lululemon.
What? I didn't know any of this. So wait, where's my podcast episode that I recorded with you?
It's so funny. I just downloaded or just got Apple music on my phone. And one of the episodes actually came on in the car. And Britt's like, is this you? Like, what is this? But it was, they do exist. I recorded like over 30 episodes and I think I released like 8 of them, but it is still out there somewhere. But it was definitely like the primary goal was, the reason I stopped was because I got too busy and mm-hmm. I joke around about it, but I honestly, I need to make more time for stuff like that because it was so serving and it felt so good to make those connections. Yeah. And some of them, I mean, I've been in wedding parties from people I met from the podcast. Some of them are like lifelong friends now.
That's amazing. I love that. Yeah. You need to bring that back for sure.
I know.
One of the things that I wanted to dive in before you continue is a couple of things. So our stories are similar in the sense of like, you're from Canada, you know, you're opening a clinic in Minneapolis. I'm from Kansas, open a clinic in New Jersey. There would have been plenty of reasons for us to feel scared to start in a place where we didn't know anybody, right? And I think sometimes when people look at it, they're like, oh, well, yeah, you just got your family and friends in. And it's like, I don't have family or friends. I just moved here, you know? What are you talking about? And so I think in school, we're told like, just open up where you know somebody so you can be successful right off the bat. It's like, there's so many other ways to go about it, which I love that about your story. And then the other part is, but you are Canadian. So you talk to literally everybody. I feel like that's your advantage. Let's just also note that. But the other thing is, you already had at least one daughter when you opened, right? It's not like you were building this prior to being a dad.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, it was, we had Nara and then actually like, I think within 3 months of me starting, Britt was already pregnant with Georgia. So 7 months into opening, we had our second daughter. So it was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not easy, but it's worth it, right?
For sure. And to your point, I don't know if you remember like in school, looking at that locus map and finding the perfect demographic. It's none of that matters.
None of it.
Someone that you want to be for your life, not like because it makes the most sense or because you know somebody and then your business is going to blow up because of that.
Well, and also to your point, like some of these people from the podcast had turned into lifelong friends, but there's other people that I thought were going to be huge influences or connections or partnerships my first year of business that I no longer have a relationship with because relationships are like that, right? So you can't base all of that on one person.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's like, I mean, we can get into this more later, but I think being able to be agile, whether it's in business or in relationships, is something that I've learned to be like one of the most valuable skills to have because you can't control everything as much as you want to. And life changes, business changes, relationships change, and you need to be able to be quick on your feet to adjust and move forward.
Totally. Totally. I agree. So tell us a little bit about the process. People don't know that you were a Lululemon model. I'm just going to throw that out there. I think the correct term is ambassador, but Kyle and I call you the Lululemon model. So from going and being like, okay, this position's no longer serving me. I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to go open my own practice. Going from that to building a team and now having 4 locations. Break down that process a little bit.
Yeah. Honestly, in the beginning, it was not the plan necessarily. I think I was in like a real burnout situation and I just needed to like start up fresh. And I knew that I could bet on myself and I was confident in that. But at that point, I didn't have a plan to like have people working with me or have multiple locations or anything like that. But what ended up happening is I think, and you know, it's not like reinventing the wheel, but because like my style of business was at the time, like a little different than other people in our same profession, there were a lot of other young chiropractors that were like, man, I want to do something like this. How can we figure
be a part
this
of
out?
It. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How can we be a part of it? And so I still have not once put out a job posting, which I need to talk to you about that. And because it's time to do that for sure for me. But it's really been organic connections. Mm-hmm. I think my first team member was, we had like a 1-year party for my clinic being open. And it was just like a community yoga event. We had like 100 and some people there. And my massage therapist was there. And she was like, I'm scouting you out. I want to work with you. Like, how does this look? And yeah, the rest
that's
is history.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
That's amazing.
So it was more of an organic build. But on that note, like it was definitely at the same time, like whether I knew it or not, there was strategy behind it. Like I want to build this feeling around what we were doing and this culture, which was more important for me than like finding the next new person. And I think that sometimes we get so focused on the sale or like the invitation we forget that like building an environment for that is building a relationship. And I think that that's something that I really value. It might not be like the quick sale, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you're building a community of people who are trusting in you and want to be around you and work with you in different capacities than just like that one time you invite somebody. So
totally. And I love what you said of like, you were building a feeling and you didn't know the strategy at the time, but your intuition did, right? Like your intuition was like, I want to build something that feels entirely different than what I've seen be done in our profession or what I've been showcased that our profession does. I want to build a feeling, a way of taking care of our patients in a unique way, incorporating these other things that maybe is not getting talked about in the traditional chiropractic office. And then I'm building culture from that, right? And I don't think that you get to four locations without having some type of culture bigger than yourself, right? And a mission bigger than yourself that people actually want to be a part of. So I think you've done an amazing job at that. I also think that it would be helpful if the listeners kind of knew what your practice was and your philosophy and how you're really taking care of your patients.
Yeah, definitely. So one thing that I talk about when I'm working with other clinicians or talking with them about like how they can get started up is like the importance of building like kind of like a theme or like a core value system, which I know you've talked about before. And for us, it's empowerment, education, and community. So what I wanted to build was I was really involved in like the group fitness space for a long time. And I loved how gyms like created this environment where you're part of something. And I was like, why does healthcare, especially like in like musculoskeletal health, like why do we not have that? There's not a strong foundation for that. Mm-hmm. When people are the most vulnerable, they're the loneliest, there's shame around being injured and not feeling good and not being able to do the things you want to do. So how do we create this playground for people to feel comfortable to share and connect around their injuries so they can move forward and feel better? And that was really what I wanted to create with the Center of Movement. That can be done in a lot of different ways, but primarily I'm working with people on getting back out of pain using exercise and movement as like a main modality. I still do adjust and I do soft tissue work on patients, but a lot of what I do is just trying to help people with a specific goal and educate them on how they can use tools to get back to feeling good in whatever capacity they're looking to feel good.
Yeah, I love that. We have way different business models. Kyle's business model is way different than mine or yours, right? And I just want everybody to hear that. Like, there's no such thing as a cookie cutter business, even in our niche healthcare field. It's like you can create whatever it is that you want to based on what you're passionate about, based on what your intuition is telling you feels good to build. When that community that you're saying that you built essentially for athletes, or a lot of your people are younger too. It's not people that have had pain for 30, 40 years. You know, it's people that are like you. They're going to the gym, they're busy parents, they're all sorts of things. And for me, I wanted to build that community for women becoming mothers, right? I wanted to have that community to where, hey, you've never been a mom before, you're up all night, you're not sleeping, you're stressed. I want to be able to be a safe space for you that you could tell me that like, hey, I don't like this. You know, that was when I became a mom, it was okay in my first 4 weeks of being a mom for me to be like, this effing sucks, because I had taken care of so many women and I knew that it wasn't going to last. I knew it was part of the process, you know, and you can build community for any type of niche that you serve. If you know what they're looking for in a community, and if you know what their pain points are, and you can help solve that solution for them, right? So I just want to touch on that. It's so beautiful what you've built. Can you give the listeners a little bit of a peek at what your day looks like? So we were chatting before the podcast. You still see patients about 20 hours a week, plus you're a Barry's fitness instructor, plus you're TikTok famous, plus you're involved in like these other companies and these group activities. You're hosting huge events on rooftops all over your area. So tell us a little bit about what your average day looks like.
Yeah, average. That's a tough one because you're right. There is a lot of moving parts. But I think like the biggest thing for me is in order to stay organized, like I have to, and I never used to be like this. I used to be more of a like, it'll all fall into place and I'm just going to wing it and it's going to be great. Go with the flow. I realized like my structure, it's what buys me that freedom a little bit more. And it's still a work in progress. I'm trying to get better at it, but being able to time block for me, like family time and time to be creative, is like at the core of my calendar. So all the other things kind of build around that. I noticed this before I even started my business, but I don't think I realized it. When I'm overscheduled and I don't have time for me to be creative, I'm just spinning my wheels. Like I might show up at places, but I'm not getting shit done at all.
Yeah.
So it's really important for me to like time block that. So I'll just have blocks in my week where it's like 3 hours of like, hey, this is time for me to either like, and I can still do work in that time, but yeah. the stuff that I want to be doing, that's
and what it's working
doing.
On the business, right? Not necessarily yeah. in the business. It's also like that strategic planning and that visionary, like you're a huge visionary. Yes. So to be able to see how multiple projects that you have are going to tie into place, you can't do that in between patients. You can't do that in between events or in between, you know, creating your social content. Like you have to actually have space to create that. And that's one of the things that I do a lot with my clients is I'm like, the more successful you are, actually, the more time you need set aside for thinking and the more time that you actually need built in to work on the business. And sometimes we think, oh, I have all these patients or I have all of these commitments. There's no way I could build in time, but that's how you're going to lead to burnout. And also that's how you're going to start to hit a plateau if you don't have time built in for thinking.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was probably 2 years ago, I had a coach that he pushed me way out of my comfort zone in so many ways, like mentally, mm-hmm. but it was so powerful. He challenged me to cut 8 hours of my treatment time out of my week. And I was like, there's no way I can do that. I'm already trying to figure out ways to bring more revenue in from seeing patients. Like I can't cut time out of seeing patients. And he's like, no, you will. And you'll do it by next week. And I was like, oh. And so I was like, hey, I did it. And I honestly like, he's like, your revenue is not going to change for the worse. He's like, it's going to slowly get bigger and bigger. And it honestly, he couldn't have been more spot on,
right? Yeah.
I was terrified, but it was a big change for me.
And our patients are more adaptable than we give them credit for, right? Like yeah. even one of the conversations that we're having in my house right now is Kyle has a multidisciplinary clinic and we're looking at shifting some hours around, shifting a couple of the other providers there around. And I think the initial reaction is to be scared. Oh my gosh, my patients are going to fall off. Like they're adaptable. If you're providing quality service, like they can figure out instead of being at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday, they can come at 11 o'clock on a Thursday, right? Sometimes we use that as an excuse to stay in our comfort zone. Sometimes we're like, I can't do that rather than coming from like a solution driven perspective and being like, okay, how could I make that happen? And how could it actually benefit my patients as well? Because if we're burnt out as business owners and practitioners and we're feeling stressed, our patients start to feel that too. So we have to just know that everything that we do for the business ultimately benefits our patients as well.
100%. Yeah. And yeah, I think that it is really easy to forget that, especially if you're so stuck working in the business. Mm-hmm. Like you said, there's no time to higher level it. Mm-hmm. It really is hard to get out of that headspace. So
what does your family time look like? Are you building in blocks in the morning or the afternoon?
Well, we're in a big transition right now because both of our kids, I know it's crazy, but they're both in school now. So my schedule looks a lot different than it did. Well, different than this summer, but also different than like a year and a half ago too. So now, you know, they're in school full time, which has made a big change. So a lot of my challenge right now that I'm pushing myself to do is to take more time off in the evenings. Because to your point, like I share that with Kyle. It's like, oh man, like that's, I need to be available. That's the only time so-and-so can come in. But I cut my evenings now because I'm coaching some soccer. I'm like, I got it. This is something I want to do. So yeah, so I'm starting to like pull back schedules there. And then we started doing this like a couple months ago, but we're doing one-on-one with the girls in the evenings. So
I love that.
Once a week, we'll just split and do our own thing with one of them. And that's been really fun too. Yeah. Just to see, and they look forward to it. So that's the big thing that we're trying to do right now.
I love really that. Yeah. One of the things that I was talking about on another podcast is that I find, because I am a workhorse, I can always find more things to work on. And my struggle has been forcing myself to pause and not find something new to work on or a new project to start. But I also find that I'm happier, literally happier in life, the more time I get with Jethro. So instead of using it like, oh, I really just have to meet this deadline, finish this project, send this email, onboard this client, whatever it is, the more time I have built into my week to actually spend with my son or to connect with Kyle or to have that thinking, the business ends up like exploding because of that, you know, because I'm actually more in alignment with who I am and what I desire and what's good for me. So if you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, that sounds fine, but you're also maybe reached a plateau where you're on the edge of burnout, it simply is you haven't built in enough of the things that actually bring you fulfillment and joy to your life, you know? And yes, of course, all of us that are service providers love taking care of people. That's why we got into this profession. But there's other aspects of our life that we love that we have to make time for too. So I think it's super helpful for our listeners just to hear from a dad too, who's juggling multiple things, but also making time to be the soccer coach. So let's talk
about anything about soccer.
Yeah. I mean, you need one of the girls to play hockey. That's what you need. Let's talk a little bit about your businesses. Essentially were built on developing community and then hosting community-based events. So we know you had the podcast and that's how you were getting these connections and these relationships, but then how did you get that to manifest into what it is today?
Yeah. So fairly shortly after the podcast, like I got connected with Lululemon, and honestly, a lot of what I learned from working with Lululemon, it was very aligned with what I was doing, but it really helped me see the value of building connections with people. And so a strategy of mine, I guess, when I was starting out was, how can I bring people again in my niche? So how can I bring them all together and kind of bridge the gap and help them understand that movement is so much more than physical, and it's actually more mental and social for a lot of people. So getting CrossFitters and yogis and group fitness people all in the same room or in the same field in the grass, and having them experience just moving their bodies in a way that might not be to crush their soul and like feel like the goal doesn't necessarily need to be them like depleted, right? Yep. The goal is for them to meet somebody new or try something different. And I think what happened was people started to realize, man, this is so much more than just me being able to deadlift this much weight. Like, this is my social life and this is my outlet to be with other people who are in the trenches, like on the other, you know, the other 23 hours of the day.
Oh my gosh. You're reminding me of my friend Callan that we both know, she just stayed with us in August, and just even that community and that social, and like, we don't have, sure, we both have online businesses, but that's about like as similar as our businesses are, right? But even just like finding those people that you can be healthy with, I think even as practitioners, like I know how to be healthy, but if I don't have a direct reflection of that in my day to day, like after I leave Callan, I'm like, I am the healthiest person on earth. She made me drink my element. She made me cold plunge. She made me go work out, like all of these things, right? It's funny, you even trying to picture getting like a super hardcore yogi and a super hardcore CrossFitter into the same community, but they can learn so much from each other. And I just think that that's so cool that you did that, because the more people that were sharing like these good, it's not just, hey, let's go out and drink, because sure, that's community in a sense, but what good is that doing for anybody's health? You know, you taking what your principles really are in your business and then helping build them in your community is awesome.
Yeah. And then, you know, just as time goes on, there's just maybe not being like in the spotlight of these events, but we're trying to be the glue that like pulls that together so that people are always like brand recognition, like, oh, we're doing this event with the Center of Movement. The common theme was like, I don't even know what we're doing, but I'm just going to show up. Like, that's what people would say. And that would be a win for me if somebody was just like, you know what, I'm just going to show up and see what happens. And it's been really cool to watch it evolve, especially over the last 3 or 4 years, and how things, you know, we, again, like had to pivot from our main source of awareness being like these massive group events to transitioning into doing different things. So
tell us a little bit about some of the events you do, because I know you do like a lot of rooftop things. Maybe it'll give some of our listeners inspiration to create events within their community too.
Yeah. So real quick, I'll go off for ideas. I think like partnering with coffee shops, or so partnering with existing communities is a really good way to get into it. So coffee shops, athleisure stores, like Lululemon, if there's a local Lululemon, they love partnering with local people who are involved in the health space, and just like putting on a talk, if movement's not your thing, anything that is really helpful. I love sauna and cold, similar to Callan. So I host these like thermoculture events on this rooftop at a hotel that's local. And I do that usually once a month. And that's really fun. Just again, like adjacent activities, but not necessarily just because you're a chiropractor, or just because you're an acupuncturist, like doesn't mean that your whole being has to be that. Like, totally. Find adjacent things that you love to do and build community around those things and people will get excited about working with you in other capacities.
Absolutely. I love that. And that's the thing. In order for your business to expand, you have to expand as a human, right? So if you're not doing anything for your self-care, you should probably look at that as a first and foremost. Like, what can I do to become a better version of myself? Because then you're going to meet people that are on the same journey. And then guess what? All of a sudden, they need your services too. What you just mentioned about the thermal culture, like when you're hosting those monthly events, like what's your cadence? What's your frequency for? Are you like sitting down and being like, okay, for Q4, here's everything that we're doing. What's that process is like the business owner?
In a perfect world, yes. I'm working on that. But right now it's more, I have like kind of my like five or six things, and I try to just commit to like one or two of them per quarter, because otherwise it gets to be a lot. I'll admit it. Like when I was starting out, I was just like, yes to everything.
Everything, yes.
I'll do that. I'll do this. And it was burnout in a different way. I don't know if it was burnout because I genuinely loved doing all those things.
It was just overcommitted, right?
Overcommitted, yeah. My head was spinning, and I'm definitely doing better at not saying yes to everything now. It's hard because, like I said, I want to do everything, but I have to evaluate like, all right, well, this thing that I'm doing is for me and that's okay. But like, how many things am I doing for me this week or this month? And where can I maybe put some of that energy into spending more time on the business? Or maybe this one thing is just for me. Where can I reallocate that time for family? So just kind of a check and balance system has been really helpful. And it's a work in progress for sure. I'm getting better.
We all are a work in progress. Yeah. What do you think is next for you? So I know you have this whole online business that we haven't even dived into. You've done a really great job, especially I'm assuming it happened through COVID, right? Because you were like, hey, we're used to hosting these 100 plus people events and all of a sudden the world's shutting down. Is that kind of what helped you navigate to having things to sell online?
Yeah, definitely. It was, you know, trying to figure out why do I crave that? Why do I crave being either in front of or with people? Like, I like big crowd. It lights me up so much. And I realized that it's definitely the impact piece. And I knew from a very early age in my professional career that the impact of seeing 1,000 people a week was not for me. Mm-hmm. Not saying that that's a bad way, but for me, I was just like, man, this is not fulfilling to me. So I think that's why I gravitated towards the big group events. And then I felt pretty stuck for a while after I realized, like, I can't do this anymore right now, you know, like the same way. And then I found online being another outlet for me to create this impact or create this sense of like, hey, like these people, a lot of people are learning something and feeling a change within themselves, and I can help be the catalyst for that. Mm-hmm. And so I think like when it all comes down to being able to spread or encourage impact in a broad sense rather than the actual thing that's being done. So it might not be about big groups. It might not be about online, but those are the vehicles right now. And
that you're using. Yep.
Yeah. That I'm using right now. Yeah.
And I love that question that everybody could ask them, like, how do I actually want to increase my impact? And if that is another location, another clinic, see more people, that's great. Maybe it's like, hey, I have this other part of me, you know, for you diving into consulting, me in consulting. I know that that was part of it too, is I really just wanted to help more people through chiropractic without me being the one to actually see the patients, right? But it's like, hey, if I can help more chiropractors make a bigger impact, then ultimately I'm a part of that vibration. I'm a part of that community excelling. And that gets me super excited. So I think that there's something out there for each of us that we could be doing to create a bigger impact. So I love that.
Yeah. On that note, I got to see Gary Vee speak. It was probably like 3.5 years ago. And the thing that still sticks out to me that he said was, this is not like 1995. Because of modern technology, like you can literally create a business around Ninja Turtles if you want to. There is an audience for whatever you're passionate about, and you can build excitement and you can build community around that thing just by using technology to help connect those dots for you. There's somebody locally who has like a chiropractic office that is, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like, there's cats, like she loves cats. There's cats all over her office. People go there because she's animal friendly. She doesn't adjust animals, but she's like just a cat lady.
Okay.
But she's loud and proudly, that's her thing. Uh-huh. And people who love that go to her because they're like, hey, she's my people. Like
totally. And I think that oh my gosh, I can't tell you this is a common theme that has popped up for me in 2023. The more authentic I am to who I am, even if that means being a bougie bitch with champagne that likes nice things, that wants to have beautiful experiences with her family, still, if I tap into that authentic self that I am, the more abundance and opportunity I attract, right? And it's because I'm just living in my alignment and I'm living with my soul purpose and I'm letting that shine. So it doesn't matter what it is, you know, some days it's like, I want to do nothing and just watch Cars with Jethro, but yeah, that's me living in my alignment because that actually brings me joy, spending that quality time with him. And you're right. There is a market out there to sell to anybody, anything, but it has to be authentic to who you are and what it is you want.
People can feel it. And I think we get scared of showing our true colors because of the one person that we might offend or turn off. But we forget that there's 10 other people here that are like, oh shit, this is my person. That's who I want to spend time with. And that's who I want to be around.
Yeah, I love that. I like to ask all my listeners in closing, like, what does being wealthy mean to you? Because obviously you have these different business ventures, you have plenty of relationships and opportunities in front of you. And so if you had to say what wealth meant to you, what would you say?
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is maybe a basic answer, but honestly, I think just not necessarily time to myself, but just like having the autonomy to use my time how I would like to as much as possible. So whether that means on my business or in my business or with my family, like being able to feel like I am in the driver's seat of how I'm spending my time is what wealth looks like for me.
Yeah. And I think I love that. I think freedom, right? It's just like time freedom. I say all the time that I will probably work until I die. I love working, but I want to be able to dictate when I work, how I work, and who I work with. And to me, that's like the ultimate freedom, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Just being able to choose all of that. So if our listeners want to connect with you, how can they find you?
Yeah, on social, it's probably the easiest. Dr. Matt underscore TCOM is like my personal handle. Or you can just shoot me an email, drmatt@thecenterofmbmt. That works too.
Great. Thank you so much for joining me today. And you're coming in the mastermind soon. So I will talk to you then. Awesome. All right. See ya.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.